The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward. Morning. All right, I think you recognize what I have here, right? Play-Doh. Any of you ever played with Play-Doh?
Yeah.
A million times? I'm probably getting close to that. Okay, well, this isn't a brand new one, but you know how when it's brand new, it comes out all like perfectly straight. But this is still the shape of what? It's kind of the shape of the container, right? It's the shape of the container. Oh, good morning. I'm sorry. All right. So we have Play-Doh. But what's the cool thing about Play-Doh? You can make it into anything you want, right? So let's see. If you could make your Play-Doh into anything you wanted, what would you make it into? Yeah? Aspen? What do you think? A tree? Wow, you're better with Play-Doh than I am. But that's awesome. Louisa?
A phoenix.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to show you my Play-Doh skill. It's like barely, I was going to try to make a heart, but I'm not even that good at that. There we go. Yeah. There I made a heart. I need some Play-Doh lessons. If you can make a phoenix out of it. Okay. So, whoo, well, that threw me off a little bit. All right, so the cool thing about Play-Doh is, this is kind of a big word, but we transform it, don't we? Play-Doh can be transformed into something else. Anything your imagination can think of, just a minute. Well, our Bible story today, we heard one from Revelation and one from the Gospel of John. They are like that too, because in Revelation it says, I, and it's supposed to be God or Jesus talking, I make all things new. So when we first hear that, that can kind of sound like the old just goes away, right? Never to be seen again if all things are made new. But that's not what God means. It's more like this Play-Doh, that God will take what's already here, will take you and me and the trees and the animals and all the people we see around us and the earth and the plants and transform them how God sees them, with big imagination like a phoenix, right? Yeah, and that God sees all, how do you think God sees all the people on earth? Yeah?
Magic.
Yeah, maybe as magical and joyful. You could make a pirate. Okay, that's cool. I think God sees us all in joy, sees us as being together, and sees us as God's children, right? And now the gospel we read, Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment." Did you hear what that commandment was? To love one another, okay? And so this new commandment, have you heard that before? Have you heard Jesus say, "Love one another"? Good. I hope so. So it may not sound that new to love one another, but Jesus wants his disciples and us to see the world the way God sees it, which is hard, but to use our big imaginations to be able to see God's vision for how people are today, and that the way God sees us as those who can be reshaped and those who can reshape the world in love, right? So we have these little cards over here, and this is for you and for adults, that they talk about thinking about intention of loving in action. So one of these says, I will take an interest in how God's love is being shared around the world. What's a way you could take an interest in what's happening in the world? Yeah? Well, maybe like hear a story from someone who lives somewhere else. Yeah? Look for a book from the library that talks about that. We have good books in our library. I will do something nice for my parents. There's that choice over there. What's something nice you could do for your parents? I want everybody thinking on this one, okay? Yeah, Aspen. What? Make dinner. That would be awesome. Yeah? Give them flowers. I think parents love flowers. Okay, I'm going to do one more. Yep. Give them your care and love. Very nice. Thank you. I will spend time with someone who needs a friend. You can think about someone who might need a little time spent with them, okay? Or I will reach out to someone I don't know well. So these are ways to think about what are our intentions about trying to see the world the way God sees it, okay? So let's pray. You ready? God who gives us love, help us to see your world in the joy that you see it in. Amen. All right, thank you for coming up. Oh, there it is. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but I did, that we have jumped ahead in our reading from Revelation. That last week we were in chapter 7, and now all of a sudden we're in chapter 21. Now, this isn't so much our choosing, but how the lectionary writers fill us in on what the focus of Revelation and of the Gospel of John might be in making meaning for us today. But it does feel a little bit like we missed some stuff, right? Here are some of the titles of the chapters that we haven't read in worship. The Woman and the Dragon. The Bowls of God's Wrath. There's a lot of beasts going on as well. And the Fall of Babylon. So some good stuff in there. All of these are rich with imagery and a prophetic imagination that's striving to tell a story in order to reach a truth about the promise and vision of God. But maybe it's not, you know, so much cheating to skip to the 21st chapter as it is like checking in on a story. Have you ever done that? Gotten a little angsty while you read a book or saw a show and went ahead and looked at the end? Read the last chapter. Some of you are like, absolutely not. I would never do that. I've totally done that. I especially remember as a kid the Choose Your Own Adventure books. Do you remember those? Well, I couldn't really choose an adventure because I just had to read all of them and then decide which one left me the happiest at the end. And it kind of took all the adventure and mystery out of choosing your own adventure. But if the book of Revelation was part of a choose-your-own-adventure book, this chapter would be the one that is trying to bring all those choices and all those roads and all those paths together. It's not the very end of the book of Revelation. And it isn't coming all together nice and neat or in a comfortable, non-mysterious way. But it is coming together in a way that shows us all what the other chapters have been culminating towards and what the coming promise of an end will be. So I want you to notice that word, promise, because I chose it on purpose. The book of Revelation is about a promise, not a prediction. Thanks to the co-opting of scripture by fictional books such as Left Behind or groups who claim to know an exact date of the end of time, sometimes we have in our heads that Revelation and the other prophetic writings that we come across in scripture are about predicting the future, telling us what is going to happen. Well, they're not. Prophecy and apocalyptic writing are not about predicting the future. That word apocalyptic actually means, in the truest sense, an unveiling or a revealing. And God is always about revealing God's self to us in many different ways. Prophecy is about looking at the present and revealing the trajectory that might hold or an image of truth that needs to be shared. Prophecy is not about the end, it's about what's going on in the middle. It's about what the people are living through right now, the choices that they have to make now, the tough indictments, the tough love, the things that they need to hear, and always, always the promise that there is hope, there is mystery, there is something beyond what we are even able to see. Prophecy is about vision. And vision is about seeing how God sees and trying to see what God is showing us. So John, this letter writer of Revelation, he's this pastor-like person or bishop-like person who loved and cared for his people and all the congregations that he's writing to. And he also wanted them to remember who they are and whose they are. So in this letter, he opens up the imagination. He tells them a vision and a story in a way that can be remembered, in a way that has impact. He looks towards a future and pushes his people in that direction. He does this in order to speak truth to power and to speak truth into their reality. The churches and people of Revelation letters are struggling to know when Jesus will come back because they are struggling to know how to navigate their daily life. They are struggling to deal with political authorities that are in direct conflict with their own faith and their own truth. They are struggling to know what parts of their traditions of religion to hold on to and what parts to let transform or let go. They are struggling with their role in the world and with how and when to use their voices. And so, as people do, sometimes when we struggle, we get stuck. And the people of Revelation have been stuck. They're stuck in their rules. They're stuck in their apathy. They're stuck in keeping their heads down and their hearts guarded and their feet on solid ground. And what John knows in the depths of his soul is that God's vision for us, for creation, for eternity, is so much more than that. And what John knows is that God can see it. God can see people living together in a diverse, holy city. God can see creation and humanity in harmony. God can see tears wiped away forever. God can see refreshing, living water and a love that encompasses all things. And John is looking for us to see even a glimpse of God's vision of new creation that brings us into this comfort and peace and grace. So that's why John writes this letter, because he wants the people to take another step forward, to look towards what maybe they can't quite see yet, but could practice into being. He wants them to get up. He wants them to use their voices. He wants them to remember the promise of God that brings them mystery and hope in the first place. And I think if John was writing this letter to us as a congregation or as individuals or as a big group of churches across our nation, that he would want us to see and hear the same things and be motivated to embrace the vision of new creation in our midst. Where are our hearts guarded and being called to open? Where are our feet frozen and being asked to move? Where are our voices silent and being asked to open loudly or more often or in a new way? In what parts of our lives do we need to remember the promise of God to be with us in the hard stuff and to bring wholeness of transformation and new creation? The new heaven and the new earth are not places that are meant to wipe away the old or destroy. They are places that are transformed and changed into the vision of the mercy of God. This could be our chance to just check in and remember that we know the end just as we know the beginning. God's promise and vision for us is here and now. We can use our voices as a church, as a community, as individuals to speak the truth about a revealing God who shows up in all places, the truth about how God sees us and calls us to look to the marginalized, not to be pushed down, but to be raised up. Just like the people in Revelation, we are in the middle of God's story, and the vision for God's people is in this command that Jesus gives us before he goes to the cross, to love one another. In the middle of sticky political situations, to stand up for the love of one another. In the middle of family quarrels and tough decisions and life choices that take us one path or another, to love one another. Sometimes this love is hugs and smiles and cookies and casseroles. And sometimes this love is knowing when to write a senator or learning more about protecting our planet or taking a chance to say no to something if it's not right or to go to the ones who are victims of injustice and hear their story. This kind of love doesn't leave us stuck. It doesn't leave us stuck in apathy or fear. This kind of love is the kind of love you already have because it is the promise. This is a love from God, and it is among you and in you. This kind of love is God, and this kind of love from the beginning, the middle, and the end brings us to the fullness of the vision and promise of God. Amen.